Know it now?
Where's the treat?
They're all wondering, where's the treat? That's a good number of kids for a Sunday night, isn't it? Yeah. We might have to do that more often. I've messed up. I didn't give them a snack. Oh, man. Now I'm not going to be the friend of the kids no more. Next time I'll bring them chocolate in a Mountain Dew. And let them go home on a Sunday night. That'll be right. All right. Luke 19. Let's talk about Zacchaeus for a little bit before we go home tonight. Familiar story. If I just started talking, you say, well, we know the story. Let's get to it. Let's get on. But every time you read the Bible, you always find things in there that's a little more revealing. And I think this story to me this week has been a little more revealing than in the past because I didn't realize how the stories ran together. We got to realize that Jesus all the way up to the cross was teaching. Even after the cross was teaching. And if you was to read Luke 18 and 19 together, you would probably see the teachings come together. In Luke 18, he's talking to a rich young ruler. Remember that? In Luke 18, the question was asked, can a rich man be saved? And Jesus gave him the scenario. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. Remember that story? And the disciples were like, well, who can be saved? And Jesus would say this in Luke 18, verse 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So if you just left Luke 18, you're thinking if you got money, you're rich, you're probably never going to get in. When you got to the end of Luke 18, there's a blind man sitting at the roadside begging, blind Bartimaeus. Remember that? He cried out, the crowd shut him up, he cried louder. And what happened that day? Can you remember the question that Jesus asked him, which seems ridiculous? What can I do for you? The guy's blind and he's begging. If I could receive my sight. Then we come to chapter 19, verse 1. And you wonder, how does this all tie together or not? Well, let's see. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among publicans. And he was... When God gives you information is probably good. He don't always say people rich and poor. He doesn't always say they were tall and short. But in this story, he makes sure we know that this guy is rich and he is short. Or wee little man that we put in the song. That really helps your ego a lot more if you're a wee little man. I don't know who wrote that song, but wow. Verse 2. 3. And he sought to see Jesus who was and could not for the press because he's of little stature. And he ran before them and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now let me tie you together with blind Bartimaeus sitting in the front of Jericho as Jesus passed by. And Zacchaeus is in the middle of Jericho. They both had a need, and the crowd hindered them. Bartimaeus could not get to Jesus because he couldn't see. And he cried out, and the crowd did what? Tried to shut him up. Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. And he ran in front of them, and he climbed a tree. Now, I want you to think about the crowd for a minute. How many times do you think the crowd hinders people from being saved? I think almost every service we have, there's people who the Lord's dealing with. And because of the crowd, they get hindered. The crowd in our world today knows as much Bible almost as we do. I know y'all don't believe that. Most people I've known who have been drunks, who don't go to church, quote Bible. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We had a neighbor. Never went to church ever, I knowed. Could get loaded up. I seen him blow snow in a blizzard with shorts and no shirt on and a cigar. But could quote verses after verses of the Bible because he'd been to church, he knew the stuff. So the crowd a lot of times are people out there who know the words that we know. And we get intimidated by the crowd. But I want you to see in this story, if you ever want to get to Jesus, you got to get away from the crowd.
Right,
and you got to put the crowd aside. And these are classic stories of the right way of salvation. Everybody's all troubled today about how you get saved. I can promise you there's no controversy in the Bible on salvation. It is as clear as can be. Read these stories. Read this story. So Zacchaeus is short because he cannot get over the crowd. He climbs a tree so he can be there when Jesus passes by. Now, I don't know about you, but I have really pondered what the significance was that the Lord wanted us to know he was short. And I think that what I gained from that, maybe on the spiritual side anyway, I think in some ways we all fall short. Doesn't the Bible say we've all come short of the glory of God? I think, if we're not careful, we could all agree with this, that almost everybody in here at some point in time feels a little insignificant. And what we do when we feel like that, we usually drop a name in a conversation. Anybody know anybody that just drops names? Why would you drop a name? Anybody understand what I'm saying when I say drop a name? Having a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden you throw a name out there. Why do we throw a name out there? Well, that name is more impressive than what? Than my name. I'm just trying to say I'm associated with them. What I'm trying to do is build myself up a little more. Can I step down here? Am I right? Because I feel a little short. Can I tell you that height and richness is relevant about where you're at? Illustration? Hey, Bentley, come here a minute. Come right here. Come here and stand with me. You're not in trouble. Just come here. Come here and stand. In Bentley's fourth grade, I'm probably a giant. Come here, John. Come here. Come here, Brian, Calvin. Come here. Now, I can stand in a world of Bentleys and Carters and Stevies, and I can talk about how big a guy I am. People say, well, he's big. But what's relevant is this crowd. I become a wee little man. And richness is the same way. I can feel, how many of you feel rich? I could take you places and you would feel rich. And I could take you places and say, I don't even want anybody to know my balance. Thank you, guys. You made me feel great. But I think that's how the world is with us. We all compare ourselves to the world and the group we're with. Now I want you to imagine, Zacchaeus was a rich man. I think he had a nice house. Y'all would agree with that? But I want to bet you he had no friends. Some of the most loneliest people are rich people. Because how they got their riches caused them not to have any friends. So he's got probably a big house and nobody to have a meal with. Can you imagine? So here he is, up in a tree. Let me ask this question and then we'll get to it. Why in the world is he so curious about seeing Jesus? Is he wanting salvation? Or Is he looking for some kind of hope in this world? What we forget, Lone and I had a good conversation this afternoon after we was leaving church, and I think we forget this. There's a lot of people in the world who have no hope. Salvation is what gave me hope. Everything about my relationship with God is it's hope. Even when it comes to return of the Savior, Paul referred to it this way, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You're standing at the cemetery. You don't want to have sorrow not as others that have no hope. That's what Paul would say, right? You and I have hope today. That's because of Jesus Christ. Would you all disagree with me if I said most of the world don't have hope? And a lot of the world feel hopeless. That's why drugs and alcohol and sex and all these things are so big in our world, because they give you a high for a minute, but it's not long lasting. Would you all agree with me on that? So what I want you to know today, Zacchaeus was this guy. And he had heard about Jesus and what Jesus has been doing and how Jesus had been giving hope. How many of you think that Zacchaeus heard about blind Bartimaeus just outside the gate being healed of his blindness? You can't tell me that didn't make news in town. And Zacchaeus comes out of his house. Let me ask you something. What was Zacchaeus' reception around the people that he was talking to? Y'all do know what he did, right? The Bible said he was a chief publican. He was a tax collector. Let me tell you how this worked. I loved learning this when I was traveling to Israel. I loved this lesson they taught us. These men, everybody know what subcontracting is? John Land says, I'm going to build Jack Meese a house. John Land starts hiring people to do the work. Rome hired people to collect the taxes. But here's how they did it, Brother Paul. You had to go ahead and pay Rome what the taxes were. Then you went out and collected them. Rome got their money up front. Your job was to go out and collect them now. So here's what the tax collectors would do. If you owed Rome $100, I charge you $150. $100 for Rome, $50 for me. Now remember this. This was not a Roman collecting the money. This was a Jew collecting the money for Rome, who was holding the Jewish people oppressed. Y'all with me so far? Kind of sounds familiar, kind of. Those people were not really the best people. I've met people who work for the IRS. If you ask them what their job is, they'll just say it this way, Brother Brian. I work for the government. They don't fill in the little blank, the three-letter word. Because they know in our society that's not even popular. But their society was even worse. So here's Zacchaeus, this guy, out in public. I'm sure they were just giving him all kinds of pain and trying to push him away. You know, why would you even have any business with Jesus? He's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he's a godly man. He might even be the Messiah. Nobody like you needs to be around him. But Zacchaeus went on and climbed a tree. Now, the Scriptures teach me, if you search for God with all your heart, you would what? Y'all believe that? I'm going to tell y'all something tonight. Most of our world is seeking. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they're seeking Jesus Christ to make them their Lord and Savior, but they're seeking. They're trying to find the answer to P-E-A-C-E. Because everybody wants that. drug people right now are getting high, and when they come down, they're in their little messed up mess, and they'll cry out to God, I need some kind of help. You can't tell me they're not looking. And Zacchaeus got where he could find. But I want you to see the real message. The Bible said, when Jesus, verse 5, came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Jesus initiated the invitation. Well, that sounded really weak. I don't know. Am I in the right kind of Baptist church? Jesus, Zacchaeus was searching, but Jesus invited. Y'all catching me? It's very important to understand. Conviction comes from the Lord. He's been convicted. He's been invited. Now, Zacchaeus hears the words from the Lord. You okay? Come down. He didn't have to. I'm not trying to rewrite a story. I'm just letting you know he's been invited. He even tells him the same thing I think I say every week. Make haste. Don't put it off. You don't have a guarantee of another invitation. Make haste. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And come down. Y'all see that? Make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. There's an invitation from the Lord to come. Now I'm going to get you to thinking so you can just think with me. I've pondered this for 40 years. I'm going to ponder it another 40 if the Lord lets me live. The Bible said, verse 6, and he made haste. And he came down and received him joyfully. I wonder, did he get it before he got to the ground? There you go. Because God knows my heart. He knows the direction I'm coming. I've wondered for years about, you know, did they get it here or did they get it on the way? I know they got it. But when did they? He's coming down out of the tree. He's making haste. And the Bible said he received him, but he wasn't happy. He got up and said, how you feel? He said, I feel much better now. What does it say? He did he not? He received him joyfully. I want you to know, if you truly receive the Lord, it will be effective on you. You won't be able to hide it. I think there's such things as tears of joy, by the way. Y'all? The Bible said he received him joyfully. Here's the crowd. I love the crowd. We all need a crowd. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I'm thinking about this. This is over my head all weekend. And I'm thinking what people are saying as he's walking with Jesus. Look at him. And Jesus is going with him. Many, 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 many people become believers, but the crowd causes them to never be a Christian. They put the pressure on them. Begin to talk about them behind their back. Murmur. people you work with, the people in your own house. Many people don't live in Christian homes, and you may become the first Christian in your home. And people say, well, good grief. Y'all go to church all the time over there? How much is it costing you? How much you all pay over there? Y'all pay the preacher? I bet y'all do. Most preachers work for money, you know. I mean, I'm just letting you know the murmuring that's going around in this young Christian. Nobody here has ever experienced that. Trying to walk with the Lord and people murmuring around you. But you know what Zacchaeus did? He invited Jesus to his house. Jesus said, I'm going home with you. You know, just read with me if you would. The Bible said that he received him joyfully. I think Zacchaeus had to open the door to let Jesus in the house. I think this is more than just a salvation sermon. I think this is a sermon about a man who became a believer, but wanted more than just being a believer. He wanted to be a full-time follower. I think, JT, that Zacchaeus was part of the 120 in the upper room during my Sunday school class. I'm trying to figure out who the 120 are. I think here's your guy. I think this guy was all in. How do I know that? Read with me. The Bible says this, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, here's a question for you to ponder on the way home before the Super Bowl. Because I know that's where you're all going. I can see on your faces, you look like Super Bowl people. You ready? Where is he saying this at and when? Is he saying this on the way? Is he saying this at the house? Where is he saying this? I can tell you where he says it. He says it in front of a bunch of people. Why? Because the Bible said he stood and said. He stood. He stood and said. He's when you stand up to speak, you want your voice amplified so others can hear. Am I right or wrong? If I'm sitting at the table talking, we're just talking. But if I stand up to talk, I want everybody in the room to hear me. He stood and he said, you with me? Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore fourfold. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you go back and read in Leviticus, the law and all that, that Moses talked about, if you defrauded somebody, you owe them one-fifth more. So if I defrauded Brother Paul of $100, I owe him $120. Do you understand what Zacchaeus did? He gave him $400. $400. He's taken from his own treasury. What's he doing? He's trying to buy his way to heaven, Brother Steve. I can see it, right? No, he's not. Because he's had a changed heart, he's showing restitution. When you and I get saved, we want to make things right. I loved it when they told me that I got saved, that all my past sins had been forgiven. But I was also told my relationships need to be fixed. Everybody in agreement with that or disagreeing? You can't just wipe it. Well, I just got saved, so I'm wiping away all those debts and everything else. The bad feelings that we had, we just wiped them away. It never happened. Oh, it happened. And what Zacchaeus starts doing is start making things right. Y'all seeing this? And the Bible said this, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Can I get you some more pondering before the game? You think Matthew was there? Remember Matthew Levi, the tax collector? I could hear him, Martha, talking to Zacchaeus. Oh, you're going to love being with Jesus. This is going to be good. Now, you're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to hang in here with us. Why would Matthew be able to do that? Because he was one of him. Y'all might be shocked at this, but there's others of you all out there. I know it's hard to find this good of people. But there's other of you all out there. Y'all do know where all Zacchaeus is, right? We've all got some issues. We all needed a Savior. And we pushed through the crowds, and maybe we screamed louder, or maybe we climbed. We pushed through the crowds enough where we found Jesus. And a lot of you, it's a Sunday night, you've probably invited Jesus to your house. You're trying to invite Him in your home. You're reading Bible with your kids. You're praying with your kids. You're trying to make a Christian home. Christian grannies and papaws. Ninnies and pops, whatever you go by. But I'm telling y'all today, Zacchaeus made it public. We live in a day and time where nobody wants to make nothing public. A lot of places don't even have invitations. Jesus let Zacchaeus. He didn't say, "Zacchaeus, you got anything you want to say?" Zacchaeus said it. Because he's redeemed. And the psalmist said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And he begins to make... Can you imagine, you hear somebody out front and you look out the window bay, and it's Zacchaeus. You know the guy because he just got money. And you see the guy outside the door, he's knocking on the door. Now what do? You do what you do every time Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house. You just hiding down, hunkering.
Amen.
You know, just let them knock. They're looking all through the way. You just hunkered down, letting them try to find you. Finally walks off and says, "Wonder what little Zacchaeus was wanting today. I done gave him money." You open the door and there's a bag of money. "What in the world is this about?" And there's a note in there. "I met Jesus. And I know I've done you wrong. And I'm just wanting to make it right." Whew. Can I tell you, it's all going to start outside those doors. If you're waiting to fix the world in this building, I'm apologizing, but it ain't going to happen. But if you'll take it out there, you take it to work with you tomorrow, you take it to the grocery store with you tomorrow, and you try to live in a world where people's looking for the hope of Jesus, you might accidentally expose them to Jesus. And if they find Him, it's going to spread. What we need today is to understand that people out there are looking for Him, and we got Him. And if we're not careful, we're very stingy. And we just want to kind of keep Him in here because we like what we got. But Zacchaeus was glad that Jesus came where he was. And now, what Jesus said in the closing of that chapter, or this particular story, was this. Verse 10. Well, by the way, verse 9, I've got to let you know. Jesus made sure alone, and He let everybody know that He is, by the way, a son of Abraham. They didn't want to claim. Anybody want to claim that they know that Zacchaeus is one of you all? No. But you know what? Jesus just identified him. I think about many times about the Apostle Paul when he got saved. And Barnabas came rolling in with him. And Peter and John then wasn't very excited about seeing him, were they? "Well, who are you bringing him to? Oh, he's one of us now." I'd be like, "Yes, right here, wouldn't you?" Because last time this guy was around, they killed Stephen. Barnabas said, "Yeah, but I've been with him, and he's the real deal. He's truly been born again. The Lord's doing great things through him." And them other guys were like, "Yeah, we'll just see. We need some Barnabases." Verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come," y'all with me? Here we go. "To seek and to save that which was lost." Yeah, but brother, see, he was up in a tree looking. But you know what? Jesus is looking for him. He's just trying to get somewhere to find some hope. He didn't know, but Jesus was looking for him. Him looking and Jesus looking, that he found each other. And Jesus invited him down. And he came. You ever notice that? It said he came down. You know, Jesus had just said, Brother Josh, you can't get through the eye of the needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man. And everybody's sitting here thinking about their grandma and her little needles and thread. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a gate over there in the wall in Israel, in the one gate. There's another gate. And they closed the big gates, and at night they had the little gate open. That's where you people could get through, but not the animals. And the only way that animal could get through, had to unload him all, get the camel down, and that camel walk. Zacchaeus had to come down. It's not impossible for a rich man to get to heaven, but you got to come down. Amen? Now I got to get up. The Scriptures are clear. The way of salvation. When you're looking, He's looking. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You can't get saved till you're lost. I was a long time not lost. And all of a sudden He talked about hell and if you knew Jesus Christ, and I realized I don't know Him and I'm headed to hell. All of a sudden, for the first time, I realized I was lost. And you know what I did? I went home. Until the next church service. And I'm saying, surely they won't bring that up again. And boy, they did. And I felt more lost. Anybody else can relate to that? Now, I had a bunch of verses, but I'm not going to read them to you. But I'm going to tell you this. Hospitality is one of the greatest tools we as God's people will ever use. And we live in a day and time where the world has told us we cannot be hospitable because it's too dangerous. Can I give you the verse to read at home? It's in Leviticus. This will be your homework. It's going to be a test on it. I want you to read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 and 34 when you go home. Now I want you to see who the Lord taught Israel to be hospitable to and why. Leviticus 19, 34 and 35. You're going to read that at home and you're going to say, that is awesome, Brother Steve. That's why we love you so much. Here's how I want to close tonight. I don't know if there's anyone in this room who's not found Jesus. You know who He is, but I'm talking about you've invited Him in. Jesus invited and He received. You all see that, right? Jesus invited and He what? Received. That's an important part of this story. Jesus has been inviting in this room a lot. Maybe some have received. Maybe some have not. But I can tell you this. It was Zacchaeus' choice to come down or not. And it's your choice tonight to receive or not. But can I promise you that the Lord wants you to come down? That's why He's saying come down. And I would guarantee Zacchaeus never had as good a dinner as he had that night with Jesus. And all I can think about, the goodness of God brought him to repentance. You all know that, right? The more he thought about how good God was to him, the more he felt like giving. You know what? That should make us that way, shouldn't it? Let's stand tonight. Our song leader and our piano player will come. We'll sing a verse. Father, Lord, tonight I pray for this invitation. Thank You, Lord, for simple stories that maybe sometimes we just run over so fast we overlook. Lord, how important this was for this man's life. Not only did he become a believer, but he brought You home with him. He wanted to change the life of his home and his environment around him. Lord, and So many times we just sit and just trash our world we live in and not realize that we can make a bigger impact if we could just bring Jesus home and make Him part of our home life. Not a church life, but a home life. Help us impact our community, our workplace, our school systems. Lord, use Your Word tonight. If there's one in this service that's not saved, and they're seeking You today, and You're seeking them, and You're letting them know that You're inviting them in, Lord, I pray tonight that they would receive You. In Christ's name I pray.